Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
Free agency at last and the NFL draft.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Free agency, NFL draft talk underway. Who should the Packers go out and get? Who should they bring back? Well, we're going to touch on it all. How can we surround Jordan Love with talent that can lead to a Super Bowl next season? Well, we're here to talk about it. Let's get into today's episode. Here we go.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichsted. I'm your host and Packers fans. Free agency, NFL draft talk. It's here. We are on for the on season. The off season, as we like to call it, is starting up and it is already underway. We have a bunch of nice interviews coming your way this week, next week, the weeks after, building up to the NFL draft. Those are coming on Wednesdays and Fridays. So hit that subscribe button. These are top 100 players in the draft that Packers may be selecting. Last year, we interviewed Tucker Kraft. So don't think that one of these guys could not land in the green and gold. It's super exciting. We are happy to have you here. And I'm also joined by my co-host, KJ. KJ, welcome to the podcast. How you feel about free agency and the NFL draft coming up?
I'm excited, Packers fans. It's great to be with you all on another beautiful day in Wisconsin. You know, it's not too cold today. You got the sun peeking through. We've got free agency coming up. Pack have moves to make, and we also have the NFL draft coming up. Pack have 5 picks in the top 100, and like Alex said, we actually just recorded with 4 top 100 draft prospects. Some of these guys projected as high as round 1, so do not miss that. Like he said, interviews coming out on Wednesdays and Fridays for the foreseeable future. It's going to be awesome. I mean, all 4 of these guys, man, they are ballers. Like, dog mentality, that's the hint I'll give Packers fans. I don't think there was a single guy that wasn't like a dog that we interviewed. And I would be really excited if we got all 4 of them. But we'll see what happens. More on the way as well. I'm just giving Packers fans a little teaser there. Free agency. You know, we're throwing off a few tweets on Ike Pack. We can make some moves. We can cut some guys. We'll get into that in a sec. We can add some guys. We can restructure some other guys. Pack should be active. And I think that's what's so exciting. The fact that we've got a pretty solidified offense means that we don't have to necessarily, like, pay $28 million to keep a guy like Devontae or, you know, frankly, throw like $20 million, $30 million at like a tackle. You know, I don't think that makes much sense at all. It means we can allocate the funds elsewhere and spots, turn those weaknesses into strengths. I'm excited for a great show, man. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Packers fans, if you like today's show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Texting it to a friend is also the number one way to help us grow. Let them know about those draft interviews that are coming up. Back to today's podcast. Coming 1 week after the Super Bowl, the focus is now how can the Packers retool this roster to get to the Super Bowl in their own? Jordan Love has a window. He's still affordable this season. That's one of the good things to be excited about is that, hey, Jordan Love is not breaking the bank like other quarterbacks in the league. We threw off Ike Packers, the top 8 most paid quarterbacks, and not a single one of them was in the Super Bowl. You had guys like Justin Herbert making $50 million a year. Jalen Hurts making $50 million a year. Deshaun Watson breaking the bank for the Browns. It is an absolute, you know, cloud out there when it comes to paying these quarterbacks. So Jordan Love, we know what we have. He is Super Bowl caliber. And so now it's about surrounding him with talent, Cage. When you look at this roster, where I want to start is, in your gut, where is an area of weakness?
Man, area of weakness, I think, frankly, just like overspending for guys that give you literally nothing. And I'm talking about David Bakhtiari. I think it's time to go snip, snip. You know, we can expand on that if you'd like. But an area of weakness on the field, I think we need to get better at the kicking position. I think we've got to do better than whatever Josiah DeGuara is supposed to give us. I think he's another guy you got to go snip, snip on. You know, secondary, I think we've got some talent. I think we can add to the secondary. But I would love to see another stud linebacker coming in and pairing with Quay. Devondre Campbell, he's another one of those guys who's on snip, snip watch. He's got to give us more than what he's given us in basically since he got paid. This guy was an all-pro before we paid him. After we paid him, he fell off a cliff. And we'll see if he's even here come week one. It's going to be interesting. But those are a couple areas right off the bat, Alex. I think kicker, maybe linebacker. I would like to see a little bit better pass rush. I know we've got a lot of talent there, but it hasn't always equated to production. And then certainly I think it's a passing league. You've got to be strong in the secondary. But the big glaring one for me is kicker, honestly. But, yeah, what do you think?
The first thing that comes to my mind, Packers fans, and maybe I'm different because KJ didn't mention this, is I think the run defense. When I look at the Packers linebackers, you look at Quay Walker. He should be really good in the run defense. Devondre Campbell should be quite strong in the run defense. But Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary are some of the worst linebackers in run defense. And that's just keeping it 100. And our defensive line as well has never been exceptional at stopping the run. Leo Chanel for the Chiefs, he was a beast at it in college. He was a beast at it in the Super Bowl. Stopping the run is how you really kind of force your secondary and get your secondary opportunities to make plays on the ball. I feel like our secondary is okay. As long as you have Jair Alexander leading that locker room, guys are going to elevate their play, Packers fans. In some of these interviews we've had with the rest of these, you know, draft prospects, they've brought up that they've been learning from Jair Alexander for years. They all look up to Jair Alexander. He's got that swagger. He's got that type of attitude that you want to play with. And so guys like Carrington Valentine, they step up. Corey Ballantyne, they step up. Jonathan Owens, they step up. I have confidence that whoever's back there with our new defensive coordinator who specializes in the secondary should be formidable. We are one of the best pass defenses. And if we can get some way, some big guy or some linebacker, in my opinion, that can stop the run and legitimately be a force in the run, not some guy who gets injured half the season and then is complaining about his injuries. I'll face it, Cage. I agree with you. I think we got to maybe move on from Devondre Campbell. The numbers just speak for itself. Packers can save $10 million if they move on from Devondre Campbell. That, to me, is a no-brainer. Where do you stand on him?
Yeah, man. Could you allocate that, you know, 10 plus double digit millions in a better place? I think you absolutely could, right? Like, you can get a league average replacement for 1/10 of that cost. And I'm not a diehard McDuffie guy, you know, like certainly you could do worse than McDuffie because we're trying to win a Super Bowl here. We're not trying to just get in the dance and get knocked out first round like the Packers have done far too many times before. You know, shades of Aaron Rodgers era, like, if you take away that Super Bowl, we went home early far too many times. And I want to give Jordan Love a lot of credit for beating the Cowboys last year. And the defense are helping him do that because it just like gives you the confidence to get playoff wins. But we can't just be satisfied there. We got to be aiming for the big one. We got to be aiming for the Super Bowl victory. And man, like, you just got to be open-minded to upgrading every single position that needs to be upgraded. Like, I think there's a few rock-solid spots in this team, right? Tight end room. I really like the foundation we have here. I wouldn't even be opposed to adding one more guy to be TE3. You just have the best tight end room in football projected for the next 3 to 5 years, right? Like, I would love that. Running back, we got to get some new blood in there, man. We got to get some young guys in there to bridge the gap once this Aaron Jones youth runs out. Running backs, when they hit age 30, Aaron Jones is 29, they fall off a cliff. And it's like, it's not just me saying this. Just look at history. Look at the data. They happen to fall off a cliff. I really like A.J. Dillon. I don't know if he's the guy. Aaron Jones certainly has a ton of talent. He's a great piece for us. But we've got to start building up that room as well. Quarterback, we're absolutely set. I think our offensive line is doing great. But you could upgrade a spot here, a spot there. You know, tons of talent on the defense. But, yeah, man, the secondary, I think we got to get some more depth back there, whether it be the safeties, whether it be the corners. I would love to see another good linebacker. I know Quay's holding it down. I know there's a lot of respect for him amongst players. You know, the defense, Kenny Clark had a really good year. First year since his dad got out of prison, he had a really good year. I don't think there's any coincidence there. It's called Y. It's called a W-H-Y, something to play for. You know, where is the upside in this team? A lot of places, but in particular, I think Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness are oozing upside. I think the pass rushers, if both of those guys, picture this, Packers fans, if both of our pass rushers, Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary, could double their sacks from last year, right? Like, I know Rashawn had 9, maybe at 9.5, whatever the final tally was.
Yeah.
You know, and let's say he gets to 19 sacks, like, that's probably too tall of a task for him, but, like, let's say combined, right? Like, Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary combined for, what, 13 sacks, something like that, give or take? Let's say they combine for 26 next year, and that averages out to, like, 13 per. Maybe Gary gets 15, maybe Lucas Van Ness gets 10 or 11. I mean, we are a fierce top 10, top 5 defense. I know there's going to be more picks in that secondary. Yeah, man, what do you think?
I'm not so confident that those two guys can take that big of a leap. And I'm
skeptical,
gonna pump the brakes,
yeah,
there.
I see the upside.
The reason is because we've been calling for it for years for Gary to kind of break out. Is this going to be the year? I hope, Packers fans. But there's been a reason Preston Smith has been on this roster for so long, is because he's healthy and he gets sacks, right? It's like he's one of those guys where you maybe want to move on from. He's going to be my next question for you, KJ. You can arguably save $12 million by cutting a guy like Preston Smith, but is he worth keeping because of just what he's produced in terms of reliability, not missing a game for Green Bay, and the sack consistency that he brings on the field? Where do you stand on Preston Smith?
I think if you cut him, you're making a mistake, and I'm not super confident he can repeat his production, because eventually this guy may fall off a cliff as well, Packers fans. But if you just make it simple and say, okay, 8 sacks, 8.5 sacks for $12 million, that is a good value. That is a good, fair bargain. If anything, the Packers are getting excess value there with how valuable these sacks are nowadays. Yeah, man, I think he brings a lot. You know, he brings a lot for the younger guys. He's like that veteran leader in the locker room. Because Devondre Campbell's a very quiet leader. You know, everyone kind of talks about, I mean, he's probably not even a leader, frankly. Like, everyone talks about how quiet he is, even though his play on the field may be loud at times, like, or at least during his better seasons, it was loud. But he's always been, like, word on the street, very, very, very quiet guy. And, you know, someone's got to be a leader, right? Like, Jordan Love's a leader on offense. Aaron Jones' a leader on offense. You know, the rest of the offense is super young, so it's important.
I'm not so sure how Quay or Gary are either in the leader department.
Yeah, but, like, you know, we're going to need someone. And, like, Preston and Kenny Clark maybe have that torch right now. Jair Alexander kind of does his thing, but he leads by example, certainly. A lot of players look up to him, like you said. I don't think I would be thinking about cutting Preston P. I think he's earned staying here. And if he were on the open market, he'd probably get like $15 million a year, which is crazy because, like, I think some of these defensive numbers are getting a little out of hand, but that might even lead us to the big question. When the Packers won their Super Bowls, Packers fans, they brought in Reggie White and they brought in Charles Woodson. And I know it's going to sound crazy, but Alex and I were talking about this before the show. No one in a million years thought Tom Brady was going to go to the Buccaneers. But Alex made a good point. He said that's his choice, right? Like, no one thought he would even want to leave the Patriots. No one thinks Chris Jones is going to want to leave the Chiefs. But there's actually some smoke there. When there's smoke, there's fire. You know, the Chiefs, if they franchise tag him, they're going to have to pay him like $32+ million. And that's hard to do in one single guy, which means he's most likely going to hit the open market because they're going to have to pay or franchise Snead, their best corner. And what I'm basically getting at is there's a chance Chris Jones hits the open market. And if the Packers were to snip David Bakhtiari, if we were to say bye-bye to Devondre Campbell, and if we were to say restructure Jones, restructure Kenny Clark, maybe even restructure another guy or two, and you throw him like a 4-year, $120 million deal, or even like 5 years, $150 million, like a $30 million per. I mean, bro, talk about a Super Bowl in Green Bay. Can you imagine Kenny Clark and Chris Jones lined up against each other with Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness on the side? It doesn't matter who you have in the secondary. You get picks galore, man. And so you know, I know that's a hot one, Green Bay fans and Packers fans, but the thing is, that's why Ike Packers is here, is we're here to put these ideas out in the universe, because crazier things have happened, right? If Tom Brady can go from the Patriots with all that legacy and all those rings and all that success and all that continuity and go to the Buccaneers and win a ring down there, new coach, everything, it can certainly be possible. And Alex, anything to add on, push back, you know, another idea yourself? The other idea I really like is bring Saquon Barkley to Green Bay. I really like that idea. It kind of solves your problem. It wouldn't break the bank. But anything to add on, subtract, push back? What are your thoughts, man?
Bottom line is, I'm worried about this Packers team having a defensive player of the year. We threw out the question on Ike Packers on X, and a lot of you wrote in saying, no, I don't see it. Maybe Jair Alexander. And a few of you were also saying maybe Lucas Van Ness down the line. But in order to truly win a Super Bowl, you're probably your best shot is going to have a defensive player of the year. Think back to Clay Matthews. Think back to Charles Woodson, Reggie White. What did they have in common? They were probably the best defensive players in the league in their prime. And Packers maybe have one of those guys, and that's being kind. That's being kind. I'm just going to say it. We have zero of those guys right now. And so we need one. And so I love the thinking cage. You know, Chris Jones is one of those Reggie White type players. I put his chance of leaving the Chiefs right now when they have to go for a three-peat. This is why I say 10%. No. I say it's less. It's a rare opportunity to go for three straight championships in the NFL. It really isn't done. So I think they're going to stick together. And
I think
and
so
that's
too,
just where
man.
I stand
but
on
like,
that. But
I thought Brady was going to finish his career at the Patriots. I really did. And then
but he wasn't winning
Bucks.
Two straight Super Bowls.
Bro, he won plenty of Super Bowls in multiple eras. Like, if Brady did it, it breaks all the rules, man. That's
okay,
what you
if
need
he,
to understand. You got to open your mind. I'm not saying it's probable. I'm saying it's improbable, but there is more than a 0% chance here. Again, the Packers could create some space. We really could. It just depends. Do we want to go for it when Jordan Love is relatively inexpensive? And he's going to get a big deal, but you could structure it in a certain way where it's a bonus. You could structure it in a certain way where it really gets into a high cap hit a year or two down the line. You can get creative with this stuff, and it's not about getting into the playoffs and winning the game and getting eliminated or getting into the playoffs and getting eliminated first round. It's about the final frontier, as we talked about last week, man.
Here's
you
got
to think big to win a Super Bowl.
I am, man, but Chris Jones pipe dream. And Packers fans, let us know
that's
where you
Bucks
stand on that
said.
One.
That's what Bucks fans said, all right? Sorry,
okay, here's
too
here's
big
a more
of an idea
realistic
for
name.
You.
Here's a new more realistic name. Leonard Williams of Seattle, who was traded from the Giants a few years back. Remember, he went for a second round pick and a fifth round pick, and Seattle took on that $10 million contract. He has about a $15 to $18 million value. He's 29 years old. That's a big-time defensive tackle that could plug some holes for Green Bay. That, in my opinion, is where you put the David Bakhtiari money. He's gone. David Bakhtiari. Those days are over. I'm starting to see more news about it, but we've been saying it for a long time. Have to move on from David Bakhtiari. That's been hamstringing this Packers organization. And Leonard Williams, he probably doesn't want to stay in Seattle. I don't think they have a shot at winning a Super Bowl over there, especially now that Pete Carroll's gone. It's going full rebuild. Expect him to hit the market. Packers could be a great spot for a guy like that. Another name, Danielle Hunter, from Minnesota. So often are Packers getting plucked by the Vikings and having success there. Why don't we turn around and take what they do good? They've always had kind of a great pass rusher. You think back to Jared Allen. You mm-hmm. think about the Williams, not brothers, but the Williams, you know, duo that they had there. And now Danielle Hunter, he's not going to be over $20 million a year, in my opinion. And maybe he does somewhere else and you let him go at that point. But he's a guy who could come in and get at least 10 sacks for you. So depending on if you want to go sacks or run stopping, I think Leonard Williams and Danielle Hunter are two names that you could get. And then also add a guy in the secondary, maybe a safety that's not too expensive. Get one of those holes plugged up as well. Instead of
you made a good point, Alex, just how you looked up the top five safeties and all five of the teams were what?
Garbage.
Trash. Exactly. Packers fans, we put this on Ike Packers. Go check it out on X if you haven't seen it yet. The top five safeties in the league, how'd their teams do last year? Trash.
I would
it
say
is not worth
10.
Paying them. It is not
the top
worth
10
paying
were trash, but the one I'll give the pass on was Harrison Smith for the Vikings because
he's
you've seen how
stud.
Good he is.
He's yeah. always been a stud, yeah. But, like, it's not in your best interest to pay a safety. Just, like, I mean, there's certain positions where you just don't want to break the bank for them, man. I mean, it's it might be insulting to some guys, to some people. I don't know, but it's just it's the reality of it. And safety is one of those positions where you probably got to plug in the draft. Maybe you bring back a Rudy Ford. You know, maybe you bring back a Savage. I know there are some cap hits there. I certainly have nothing against those guys, honestly. But, like, you cannot break the bank in a safety. I really think that's a terrible move. I don't think you – I think that leads you away from an Antoine Winfield, to be perfectly honest, Packers fans. I know that he's, like, a trendy pick. People are like, oh, give me Antoine Winfield, please. It's like, dude, look at all the other high-paid safeties in the league. Their teams ain't in the playoffs, Holmes. It's true.
Well, like, here,
if you like
here's
sitting
the
on
problem
the couch
with Savage,
playoff times,
too.
By all means, pay a safety. Like, by all means.
That's why on former podcasts, Packers fans, I encourage you to go listen to those of ours. I said, pay the cheapest one, whether that's Jonathan Owens,
you made a good point.
Rudy Ford, or Darnell Savage. Pay the cheapest one. Take one of those guys, lock him up, right? Because that's going to solve at least one of your holes back there. And if two of them are cheap, then you get two of them. But Darnell Savage is coming off a pick six against the Cowboys in the playoffs. I don't think he's going to get his value. I think he's going to get more than his value. And we've seen him. We've seen him. I want to root for him. He's talented. He's got all the talent.
He's got
the
a
vision.
Lot of ability,
but,
yeah.
But is he really worth the investment, Packers fans? You let us know what you think. I'm going to say let him walk if he wants more than $9, $10 million a year. I think $8 million is the top I would go, and that's – I don't know if I feel too comfortable going 9 or 10, but I would not. $9 million.
I think my line is 7. I think my line in the sand is, look, if you want $6 million, I'll give it to you. I ain't giving you more than a dime more than 7, bro. And that's just me. I think you know, Owens
well, he's
and
younger
Ford.
Than,
I think
you know,
Owens
pick
and
six.
Ford. Like Savage has incredible upside, so maybe this new defensive coordinator like Jeff Hafley, maybe he can tap into that, because you'd hate to see Savage going ball for another team, because he does run a 4-3. He's shown his upside. He's versatile. I would hate to see him ball for a different team. I think Owens and Ford, like, you know, 4 and 5 million max. And then again, it's just like, do you even want to pay that? Would you rather just draft guys and put the money into the other areas, right? Like Patrick Queen, you know, the linebacker, he's going to hit the open market because the Ravens are most likely going to get franchise their defensive tackle, Mabuki or whatever his name is. I forgot his exact name. You know, he's probably going to get the tag. So that means Patrick Queen, because you only get one tag. You know, he's going to hit the open market. Everyone's saying he's going to get between 15 and 18 a year. That makes me nervous, but I would rather put it there than a safety. Although Devondre Campbell, you know, what's it called? PTSD. Last time we paid a linebacker, that it ain't work out so well. So, yeah.
Here's another name, Packers fans, and this is why I'm keep on reading off defensive tackles. Christian Wilkins of the Miami Dolphins.
He'll probably get tagged.
3'10". He could get tagged, but that might not be in their best interest considering all the contracts they have over there in Miami, Cage.
Yeah,
they like to have that show, right? And they've got loaded talent on the D-line. They've got Chubb. They've got other guys who can eat up those, you know, snaps, I think, and surround it. So he's a defensive tackle that had 9 sacks. So imagine bringing in a guy like Kenny Clark and plugging him right next to Kenny Clark. And the reason I like defensive tackles and paying these guys is because their bodies,
they make
age well. They age well. It's not like all of a sudden they can't play when they're 30 years old, like a running back or like some of these other positions. No, I think they're truly one of those positions that, hey, as they get older, they get smarter. They know how to eat up the run a little better. They still know how to, like, make sacks when it counts. And so I would be really looking at, you know, trying to add a guy like that to the team. Let us know what you think, Packers fans. Moving on to the draft talk. We're going to do a little draft talk here before we wrap up, Cage. Same question to you. Where do you see a hole that you would fill first in the NFL draft?
Well, I've said this for years. In the first round, you go 4 positions. You go basically offensive line, defensive line, cornerback. I mean, the defensive line is synonymous with edge rushers, just so everyone's clear on that, or quarterback. Because we do not need a quarterback, we're going to be going OL, DL, edge, or cornerback. And, you know, make sure everyone checks out these interviews coming up. We may have one of our main targets coming up. I wouldn't mind selecting that guy. But, yeah, man, I think if you can get an edge rusher, you know, another pass rusher, if you can get another big body on the defensive line, or you got to go cornerback, I think everything else is just like a misallocation of value, to be honest, if you just take all the data and just kind of like read it the right way. I think you can get receivers in the second. I think you can get tight ends in the second, third, you know, receivers in the third, fourth, stuff like that. Like Dontavian Wicks in the fifth, sixth, stuff like that. You know, cornerbacks, you kind of got to get them first two rounds. You know, maybe you luck out and get a guy in later rounds. Like safeties, you can certainly get beyond round one. Once again, these guys that go round one, like you look at an Jamal Adams, right? Like, yes, he's been okay enough to like get another big deal, but like his teams have always been near the gutter, man. So it's like I'm not a big fan of taking these high pedigree safeties. I would maybe take one in round two or three or lower. But I go for those premium positions. That's offensive line, defensive line slash edge pass rusher or cornerback. Do you agree or disagree? And I also think if the Pack can take the best kicker, it would almost be worth it because you got to win at the margins. Like we got to do better at kicker. If that means using a fourth rounder on a kicker, well, by all means, we got five picks in the top 100. So if you can get five studs and then you blow a fourth rounder on a kicker, I wouldn't be too upset about it at all, Packers fans. Alex, what do you think real quick before we wrap up?
Looking at some mock drafts out there, Packers fans, there's a lot of offensive lineman talent. There's a lot of edge rusher talent. And there's definitely a lot of cornerback talent around the Packers picks. So I expect that to be the most probable, you know, choice, right? And I would be happy if they even, you know, O-line, I could stomach that, right? Because you get another guy for Jordan Love. He's the future. Packers really are going to have to build on that offense always, right?
Got to keep him upright.
You got to keep Jordan Love healthy. That's your best shot at winning anything this season. But here's something I want to kind of, you know, just kind of think. I think this is my prediction what's going to happen in the draft. Big boys are going to rise, and so are quarterbacks. For example, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, I think he's going to rise. Some of these big defensive tackles. Jerzon Newton, he's number one on my board for where the Packers are picking right now.
I love that.
I think he's going to rise and may require being traded up. And as a result, all these high-powered small guys, these wide receivers, these cornerbacks, I think the Packers might have a good choice there at someone falling that maybe shouldn't, that's a little smaller sized in that regard. So that's where I see maybe upside for Green Bay. And, I would kind of maybe want to pass on edge rusher this year just because of the Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith.
Keep them churning
quite okay.
In. Keep them churning in.
But I would maybe want to go big OT, big defensive lineman, or kind of take the best man available in the CB or wide receiver position.
You pretty much always have to go best man available, honestly. That's probably the best philosophy. You said it. And I mean, I think it sums it all up right there. But I like the premium positions, too.
Do you have to go best man available, though?
Well, like, I think it's a better philosophy than drafting for need, especially at the top. I think you at the top, you got to go best player available. But, like, maybe in, like, you know, four
second
through seven,
third,
then you
can
go more for need. But, yeah, I really do believe you got to go BPA. I do.
Yeah, and you can't be drafting for strange roles. That we learned in the DeGuara draft. Like,
yeah, what
no,
the hell
like,
was that, man?
Fantasy roles. Like, let's get some guys who play legitimate Super Bowl positions. Another name to watch, maybe Brock Bowers, right? I mean, I doubt he falls.
He ain't coming to us. I like the idea of building an elite tight end room and even adding another stud in there beyond Tucker Kraft and beyond Luke Musgrave, who congratulations to both those guys for getting locked up with their fiancés. However, I don't think Brock Bowers is meant for Green Bay. I even last year, like, you looked at him next to Darnell Washington, and Darnell was very, very impressive. That's not to say Brock couldn't excel in the NFL, but I don't know if we can use our first-round pick on him, to be honest. And I don't think he's going to be there, so I think it's an interesting thought.
Well, Packers have the option to, like, trade up. They can go out and get a guy if they really like someone in these workouts. That's the exciting part. Cage, you put out the draft capital. Packers have the fifth most in terms of value draft capital in this NFL draft, thanks to the Rodgers trade and the Rasul Douglas trade. So why not, right? Like, I mean, you can take depth. That's okay, too. But if you really like a player and you want to move up 6-7 spots, there's that extra third-round pick, mm-hmm. right? We're not going to be jumping up, don't in my opinion, seconds, into the though. Top 15. Yeah, we're not going to be trading the second.
I think just go for – like, use all five of those picks. Like, I don't really like the idea of trading up unless it's, like, a home run. I really don't. Like, I don't mind the idea – like, trading down is also annoying AF to me. But, I mean, think about it. Five top 100 guys, bring in five of them. Maybe three of the five hit and two of the five don't. That's three more studs on 4 or 5 year deals. You know, like. But if you get rid of that and only get three of those picks, you know, maybe trade up. You trade a third. You trade a second. You only have one pick and three picks in the top 100 now. Well, then your hit percentage has got to be considerably higher. You know, maybe you only hit on two of the three, right? And it's like three of the five is better than two of the three when it comes to 22 positions starting on a combined offense and defense. That's just the way I look at it. But yeah.
Yeah, it should be a fun draft, though.
It's gonna be a blast,
Packers
man.
Fans.
It's gonna be a blast.
Just look at some of these names. You got Caleb Williams. He's finally going. Will the Bears take him, or will they trade out of that number one pick? I mean, that's gonna be just fun to watch. I think they'll take him too. Also, Marvin Harrison Jr., arguably one of the top wide receiver prospects since recent memory, Megatron. Maybe since Julio Jones, or who did you say? Since
Megatron.
Yeah, or you know, maybe Ja'Marr Chase. You know, like. Elite level, probably since up there in that top caliber.
Yeah,
right?
Looks like a sure bet.
Olumiyawu Fashanu, like the guy from Penn State, the offensive tackle. I think he's the best left tackle that's coming out in years. Didn't allow a single sack in his entire collegiate career for Penn State, playing against Big Ten pass rushers. That guys are just beasts. And so there's going to be some fun receivers to watch, fun cornerbacks to watch, and we're going to be there every step of the way. Make sure you hit that subscribe button because this Wednesday, again, our first interview comes out with a player that's definitely going to be around pick 25. Hint, hint. It's going to be super fun to see what y'all think of that interview. We're going to have some
fire
great
interview.
Content about
yeah.
there on Ike Packers as well about should you draft him? Do you like him? So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Friday, we have another player coming out. So he is also, as KG said, right in the Packers range. And both of these guys are extraordinary men. And hopefully Green Bay looks hard their way. So, Cage, any final thoughts for the listeners today?
Man, you know, like you said, there really is no time off this offseason because the Packers so close to the Super Bowl. We're so close. We're scratching and we can almost touch it. We can almost taste it. We've got five picks in the top 100. We've got ability to create some cap space and maybe make a splash. I can't wait, Packers fans. I'm so thankful you're all here with us. Text this show to a friend. Let's keep spreading that green and gold love.
Yup. And as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go forever.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go.
I see you in the golden sun like a star. I cannot believe it. Have we been that long apart? Seems like a moment we held each other in arms. Now this seems so far away. I've been looking back at photographs and remembering all the times we had. Everything that turned my world around. The thing that turned my world around. The thing that turned my world around. You have got me so undone. I can't help it. You're all I want. I am so lost when you're not around. Can you come home?
It's better now.
It's better now. Better now. We'll be right back. my world around. The thing that turned my world around. The thing that turned my world around. You have got me so undone. I can't help it. You're all I want. I am so lost when you're not around. Can you come home? It's better now. It's better now. Better now.